Chapter 6. Vacation. Red Hair Pirates. When Shanks tells his crew that they're taking a vacation, they cheer. When he tells them where, they quickly beg to work more or go somewhere else. For the East Blue is a terrifying place, and each and every one of them has heard the legends. The crown of fire above Roger's head as he died, the way his strength was inhuman and his soul demonic, the way his grin would have far too many teeth and his limbs would twitch in odd ways, as if they weren't the shape they should have been. Only their captain had sailed with the man, but his own tales were even scarier than the rumors told. Shanks is as stubborn as they come, however, and eventually they head towards the East Blue, feeling the veil shift over their eyes as they cross its dark threshold, thickening and thinning in odd places. They all pray in thanks to the sea, but not this sea. No, only those who wish for a painful end pray to the east. That their captain's haki is strong enough to cut through the veil so that they can avoid the darkness of this place. In the Grand Line and the other blues, the veil, something utterly supernatural, saves you. It hides the notion of far more deadlier things, so that children and adults alike can sleep without knowing of the wicked fangs that hide in shadows or the dark depths of the night, without knowing the true nature of men like Dragon or Garp or Roger. In the East Blue, however, those dark depths are more potent, and the veil is less like a door shutting away the monster outside, and more like a covering over a trap, misleading you until you fall and are pierced on jagged spears. It's unpleasant, to say the least. They island hop for a week, the crew, despite their captain's urgings, too uneasy to settle. But then they happen upon the little island called Dawn Island, where the water is crystal clear and the sun is shining, and where a little boy with dark, soulless eyes and a feral, bloodthirsty grin, with suspicious red stains on his sharp teeth, paired with a body with far too many joints, is there to welcome them to the docks, speaking rapidly about pirates and adventures and grandpas. Shanks had been the first to step forward, and the boy had quickly grabbed his hand and dragged him away. The crew, scared for their captain, had followed. And there they met her, squatting down to talk to the boy on his level, reluctant as he was to let go of Shanks's hand, even though his claws left little beads of blood on the elder's hand, with a long, slender tail trailing behind her. Shanks claimed she was a goddess in mortal flesh. His crew, though originally thinking her to be a sea witch of the darkest places, quickly came to agree. Makino, despite the scales gently spotting her cheeks and floating, fading quality to her hair, was perhaps the most brilliant, kindest person the crew had ever laid eyes on. And she had raised Luffy. You had to respect anyone who was able to patiently deal with a bundle of energy that viewed people as an acceptable snack and tended to bite those he thought looked particularly tasty.